Alrighty, happy Sabbath, everybody.
Happy Sabbath.
Hope you all are doing well. Enjoying this wonderful sunny day the Lord has given us to be encouraged in His Word, as I try to remind the people in Kenya. This day is a day of rest, to be reminded that there's going to come a true rest when we can rest from our toil. All the heartache, all the trials that we've gone through, all the difficult circumstances we've gone through, all the ways we've tried to do things that did not turn out right will one day be laid to rest, and we can really rest in God's Word and see how He does things. That's what God wants us to do. Occasionally you're reminded about your speech, what people say, certainly during the political campaign trails. You have many people making decisions or making speeches about things that they want to do. We sometimes speak to ourselves to encourage one another in God's Word. And you hear people talking about different things that they want to come to pass. And it's a challenge, you know, to really stay abreast of all the different things that you hear in the news and all the different things that leaders may say that they want to do. And no one holds them accountable. God tells us that He wants us to speak His Word, only speak His Word, you know, pertaining to the things of God. And God wants us to realize the power of His Word in our mouths. You know, when we think about that, we can say things, as I try to remind people at church from time to time, did you really mean what you just said? This is not going to happen because we don't have the funding, we don't have the education to go out and get the job that we want, we don't have the means to overcome the economic conditions. You know, people talk about those things all the time. We hear them at work. Or a child may hear a parent say discouraging things that they don't want to embrace because, you know, become a part of their genes. And they don't go out and do the things that they need to do in life. So our words are powerful. And God wants us to be mindful of our words, especially His children. You know, when He says something, His words are going to come to pass. Psalm 33, I should say. We'll take a look at this. So the title of the message today is The Power of God's Words in Your Mouth. So we have to be reminded from time to time to speak God's words in different situations. So we're going to look at some things today because we're going to be training our tongue. Things that we should say, things that we should not say. So Exodus 33 gives us a key. Verse 3, as we did earlier, sing unto the Lord, sing a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise. The word of the Lord is right. All His words are done in truth. He loves righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Think about that. The whole earth is full of God's goodness. Now we have to find it. If we don't see it, we got to look for it. If we don't see it in our lives, we've got to ask God to help us with it. We want to realize those things. And I want it for myself, for my family, all those I interact with. We want God's goodness to be evident in their lives. Verse 6, he says, the word of the Lord, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. Now think about that. God spoke and things happened. He spoke and things happened. Now think about how we can speak and we can encourage people, or we can discourage people. Have you ever seen that happen before? People get encouraged. Can you imagine a coach on the sidelines? Come on, you can run that play. You can do it. Because they have practiced running that play. They have studied the film of the opponent, knowing the enemy, knowing his tactics, knowing how he does things, right? Being aware of that. So he can encourage them, you can do this. According to the plan, we've studied it, we've drawn it out, the coaches have experience, we're going to run this play. God says here, by His word were the heavens made. He spoke those things and they came to pass. Now God can speak things in our lives too and make things happen to us. Christ did it. He spoke to the leper and He said, be clean. And the leprosy left. He spoke to Satan, the devil, who had a lady in bondage in Luke 13. You know, the woman who was bent over for what, 18 long years? The only thing she saw was a toad walking around like this. He said, woman, you are loose. Now, she was in the synagogue, where all the teachings would occur by the scribes and the Sadducees, Pharisees, all those people. Their teachings could do nothing for this lady. She sat there being bound all those 18 years. In fact, let's take a look at that. So you can just set your mind. Sometimes you set your mind or your eyes on a scripture, you can remember and you can see the context in how Christ dealt with it, because he spoke God's word. And this shows you the power of God's word in his mouth. So Luke chapter 13, verse 10, he was teaching in one of the synagogues, just like we're doing now. We're teaching about something. Luke chapter 10, 13, verse 10. Behold, there was a woman which had a spirit. Now, this is a spirit that lets you know spirits, only thing they want to do, those who are demonic, is want to cripple and to bind and to obstruct and to create a problem for those who are trying to do what's right, or those who are trying to go on through life and take care of themselves. So this lady had a spirit of infirmity 18 long years. She's suffering with something for 18 long years and was bowed down. She's bent over like this. She could in no wise lift herself up. She didn't have the strength. Can you imagine how she laid down? Like she was in a fetal position when she even laid down. And when Jesus saw her, now she didn't say anything to Christ. Jesus just looked at her and saw her condition. And he said, "Woman, you are loose from your infirmity." The power of God's word. You are loose. Now, he relieved her of that oppression by the words that he spoke. In fact, if you go back a few pages to Luke chapter 4, Luke chapter 4, verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive. This lady was held captive by this spirit of infirmity. And recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are bruised. That's what Christ is about demonstrate here. So he says, "Woman, you are loose." So the devil had to go. Then verse 13, he laid his hands on her and made her straight. Two things happened. He spoke the word, and then he loosened her so that she could walk uprightly. Then there were those who came to her and said, "What are you doing? You're healing on the Sabbath day." The Lord said unto her, "You hypocrite," verse 15, "do you not know, do not each one of you on the Sabbath day, you loose your ox and your ass from the stall, and you lead them away to watering? Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound," that's why it was a spirit of infirmity. Satan and the devil had bound her in that condition. "And should not this woman be, who Satan has bound, lo, these 18 years be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" It was a spirit of infirmity. And God spoke the word. Powerful words. We need that. Because our enemy is a formidable foe. He is out there seeking whom he may devour. Let's go back to Psalm 33. Psalm 33. I just want to show you that. Verse 6. "The word of the Lord, by the word of the Lord, were the heavens made, all the host of them." Now, when you look up at the skies, you see the stars, you see the clouds. See all this, God is saying, "I made all those things." How much more can he do something inside of our bodies to correct a problem with our cells, the things that are going on in our lives? As I mentioned to the brethren earlier this morning, every single day I get an email, a spam email, a phishing email. Somebody trying to get you to click on something, and it says, "This message has been quarantined by Microsoft, this service, a part of our email service system. It has been quarantined because it can be malicious. It's dangerous. Don't click on it. Don't follow the link." How many times have we clicked on something or received spam in our minds, contrary to our parents' teachings, contrary to the Word of God's teachings? We have been spammed. And we're acting, or we're living out something. Something is growing on the inside of us that does not reflect God. Just like Adam and Eve, something began to grow on the inside of them that did not look like God. They had been spammed. They had been fished, P-H-I-S, not fishing, P-H. They had received another message, and what was growing on the inside of them did not look like God. That's what Christ, God said, "Adam, where are you?" "Well, we were ashamed. We were naked." He said, "Who told you were naked?" So he saw something had grown up on the inside of them that did not reflect him. They became ashamed. So Christ says, "You be ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father in heaven." Turn back to Psalm 19. Psalm 19, we're talking about the power of God's word. in your mouth. God wants to put some words in your mouth. Not my words. You've heard the saying, you trying to put words in my mouth? I didn't say that. God wants to put words in your mouth. Good words. Okay, you can read this whole psalm. He talks about the heavens, how they would declare his glory, verse 1. The firmament, all those things. He's telling you to look back at creation. Look back at Genesis 1, Genesis 2. When he created everything, look back. That's what David is saying here. They declare your glory. They utter speech day unto day, verse 3. No speech, no language is where the voice is not heard. The voice is not heard. Verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. God wants to make us wise by speaking his word. Now drop down to verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable. Are our words always acceptable to God? Or do we say things that will discourage people from time to time? We all do say things that from time to time that are discouraging. He says, let my words be acceptable. The words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. God wants his words to be in our hearts and our minds. Only speak what God tells us to speak. Now, I've been going through a series with the brethren in Kagoras leading up to Passover, the 12 chapters of Exodus, showing how Moses, God told him only to speak my words. Only speak what I command you, Moses. Moses could not say to Pharaoh, come on out here, let me put him up. Let's go. No. God was in the process of teaching Moses how to speak and things would happen. All through those chapters. That's what we're learning. I never thought about it like that before. God is teaching Moses to speak. So much so, when Moses got to the rock, God said, speak to the rock, Moses. Because he had been learning all this time. Moses said, you rebels, I'm tired of y'all coming to church late. Or not coming to church, not at all. He said, Moses called them rebels. God says, Moses, 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 you did not sanctify me in the eyes of the people. Moses was supposed to speak to the rock, just like he had spoke to Pharaoh. God said, go down to Pharaoh. Now remember now, we pray about the coming kingdom of God. But God is the one who gives us the air that we breathe. He caused the grass to grow, the season. We're now in the winter season in this hemisphere. God is the one who's orchestrating all this by the word of his power. That is a different kingdom that has an influence on us now. We don't think much about it. The sun come up, we go outside, go about our chores, do everything we want to do. We don't think about God's word is maintaining everything. We'll get to that as well. But Moses, God says, you did not sanctify me in the eyes of the people. Therefore, because you didn't do that, you're not going into the promised land. Then Moses himself said several times, Lord, can I go? Don't talk to me about that, Moses. You're not going to go. Then Moses himself concluded, well, I can't go into the promised land because of I said something that I should not have said. Okay. What about our words? Christ is trying to teach us in Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. We're going to have to give an account for every idle word we speak. It's not that you can't joke, you can't have fun, but when you're dealing with his word, you have to speak what God's word says. He's telling us now, pray his kingdom come. He's about to demonstrate to Pharaoh that there's another kingdom that you don't even see. Pharaoh had no idea about the Lord God, Jehovah, Yahweh. He did not understand. But Moses was told, just go and speak his word. Don't try and put up no deuces, you know. Don't try to take your rod and go out there and pretend you have an army. No, you're going to speak my words and I'm going to bring it to pass. I want to show you this now. I had not even thought about these things. I was going through this. I was telling my wife, this is fun. Telling Jordan, I enjoy going through this series.
That's
true. This is fun. I enjoy this. But look, now think about this, the power of God's word. John 14, we all know the scriptures where it says, greater works you're going to do. Mm-hmm. Think about this in light of what Moses, you go back and read Exodus 1 through, I'm up to Exodus 7, 1 through 7. Speak, speak, speak what I command. Speak, speak, speak what I command. God's telling him, just speak. That's all you got to do. Speak now. Now here's Christ, John 14, verse 9.
Turn to that.
Yeah, John, yes, please. John 14, verse 8. Because Christ, they did not understand that he would come as a deliverer too. Stephen would make that known in Acts chapter 7. He said Moses was a deliverer. The people did not understand, and they rejected Moses. And Stephen is saying, they rejected me. I rejected Christ just in the same way. Look at what Christ is saying here. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices. Jesus said, have I not been so long time with you, Philip? You have not known me? He that has seen the Father has seen me. How says you, show us the Father? Verse 10, John 14, verse 10. Believe you not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the work. As I'm reading through Exodus, I'm saying, wow, that is what God is telling Moses to do. Moses, throw down your rod. It became a serpent and ate up all the other serpents that the magicians and astrologers and sorcerers did the same thing. And Aaron's rod ate up there. That serpent that became from a rod ate up theirs. Aaron and Moses did exactly what God told them to do. Christ here is saying, I speak only what my Father tells me to do, and my Father does the works. Just like Moses would speak, and God did the work. Moses, throw down your rod. When Pharaoh asked for a miracle, in fact, let's go back and take a look at that. This is in Exodus chapter 7. I thought, man, this is so wonderful. I am enjoying this. Because at my work, at my job, I tell people, you got to stop saying those negative things. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right, man. We got to stop saying that. I even had to tell people in the church, you got to stop talking that negative talk. Well, that's why we can't buy a building, because we can't do this. We don't have this. We can't be healed. Well, yeah, because you keep talking things so negatively. We're supposed to be the children of God who know these things. So here in the book of Exodus, chapter 7, this is where he begins. Now, he's been building Moses up all this time. You know, Moses had to go down. You know, he was at the bush. God had to talk to him, take off his shoes, kind of clean him up. You know, tell him, you're going to do this, Moses. I said, I'm going to deliver the people, but he's going to do it through Moses. And then Moses said, well, how are you going to believe me? He said, well, you know, take the rod and cast it down, become a serpent. And take your hand, put it in your bosom, become lepers. Take it out, made whole again. You don't believe that, you know. You're going to get water out of the river. You're going to put it up and pour it out. It's going to come to blood. So here, Exodus chapter 7. Oh, another thing I just noticed. In Exodus chapter 6, verse 12 and verse 30 of Exodus, take a look at that. God had already given them the token of circumcision to affirm or to confirm or as a token that the covenant is going to come to pass. He made a covenant with Abraham. He's going to give him the land. And you can further mention that in when he changed his name in Genesis chapter 17. But here, Moses, after God is telling him all this, he's going to speak what? Well, verse 12, Exodus chapter 6, verse 12. Moses spoke before the Lord, saying, behold, the children of Israel have not listened to me. Because Moses talked to him the first time, and they made their bondage more intense. Right? That's what Pharaoh did. He appointed leaders. You people, your own people, you're over the people. They don't do what I told them to do. I'm not going to give them any straw. They're going to be beaten. So Moses said, I've spoken to the people. They have not listened. How then shall Pharaoh hear me who am of uncircumcised lips? Moses said, I'm circumcised. See, he's speaking into his own life against the covenant that God made with his family. Abraham, back in Genesis chapter 15, says, you're going to be here in this land for 400 years. I'm going to deliver you out with great substance. In Genesis chapter 17, he made a covenant with Abraham, circumcised all the males. Moses here is saying, I'm circumcised. Verse 30 again. Moses said before the Lord, I am uncircumcised. His lips, he can't even speak about the covenant. He's afraid. He's timid. We shouldn't be timid when we know the covenant. We should speak powerfully God's word. Believe what God said about us. Moses did not. He said, I'm circumcised. How shall Pharaoh listen to me? Now Moses, he's worried about the results. He's thinking, I'm going to be put to shame because I go out there and talk to Pharaoh. He got a standing army. All I got is a stick. God is teaching him, you just speak. Speak the words. So in Genesis chapter 7, Exodus chapter 7, here, verse 8. Exodus chapter 7, verse 8. The Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, now listen to this now. God is speaking. He's speaking. Now he's telling Moses to speak. He spoke unto Moses and Aaron, saying, when Pharaoh shall speak unto you, now think about this now. I had fun with this. Here God is up in heaven. He has a kingdom that we can't even see, that rules over all, giving Pharaoh the breath that he breathed, the sun that comes up. He caused the grain to grow from the ground, that they plant all these things, the animals, all the things that are there. God is maintaining that. People, we have to see God's kingdom as ruling over all. That's why he said, pray to his kingdom come and rule, make decisions that favor us. We have to believe that. Speak these things. Because when we pray, we want things to happen, right? We believe God. We want to believe his word. God is speaking to Moses, saying, when Pharaoh says, show us a miracle. Now here's a man who believes in his miracles, his demonic leaders, the sorcerers, and all those people, the astrologers, doing the enchantment that you see down in verse 11. He says, when Pharaoh says, show us a miracle, verse 9, you shall say to Aaron, take your rod and cast it before Pharaoh. Because he had said earlier in verse 1, I'm going to make you a god to Pharaoh. You're going to be like a god to him. Christ says there in John chapter 10, quoting from Psalm 82, does it not say that I have made you gods? And if I make you gods, how is it such a great thing if the Son of God, Christ himself, said, I'm the Son of God? Why is that such a great thing? God says here, Moses, I made you like a god to Pharaoh. Think about somebody speaking into your life, a coach, a father speaking into a son's life. You're going to do great things. You're going to achieve much. Your daughter, or talking to a granddaughter, or a friend, a neighbor, co-worker. You can do this. As a team, we can do it. Speaking powerful words into that person's life. That's what Moses received from God the Father. He says, you're going to show him a miracle. Then Pharaoh, verse 11, called the magicians and the sorcerers. Now the magicians of Egypt, and they also did in the manner with the enchantments. They cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. The victory, as we're saying, is the Lord's. God is showing us he gives the victory. But Moses had to do exactly what God said. And it says, verse 6, the Lord God of the Hebrews has sent me unto you. God is in another kingdom, but he's manifesting some things in this world for them to see. Pray that his kingdom come. Pray that the manifestation of his kingdom come. And that his will be done. He's telling us what his will is right here. That's why he told the disciples, you go out, you heal the sick, you cleanse the lepers, you raise the dead, you do those things. And we have to retrain our minds to think like that. He says, tell them, let my people go, verse 6, that they may serve me in the wilderness. And the objective is to release people so that they can serve God. That's what Christ is teaching us. So I just wanted you to see that. And as you go through those scriptures, you can see how God is training Moses how to speak and what to say. And when you get to Numbers chapter 20, Moses is so frustrated with the people that he struck the rock. God told him, no, Moses, you should have spoken to that rock, but you didn't do it. And therefore, you're not going to inherit the promises. God has given us great and precious promises he wants us to enjoy now. But because of unbelief, what we say, we're not receiving those things as plentiful as we should. Let's take a look at that over in the book of Mark. We'll get back to John, Mark chapter 6. This is how you deal with unbelief in the tongue. In this case, he's talking to all the people that you're talking to, friends, family, co-workers, even yourself. Mark 6, he went out, came into his own country. His disciples followed him. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogues. So he's teaching in the synagogues where they were. They were all astonished because he taught them as one with authority, you know. He said, how does this man have all this knowledge? So number one, they're saying, well, you look like us. We know where you're from. Peppermill Road, Peppermint. We know where you're from, Sparta, Beta Street. We know you, where you're from, Shirley Drive. We know where you're from. We grew up with you. What wisdom is given unto this person, with such mighty works have been done by his hand? Is this not the carpenter's son, the mother, his mother, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simeon, Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? They are bringing him down. We know you. We know your family. You're not from a good stock. We know what zip code you live in, bro. What's wrong? Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor except on his own country, your own street, the own school you went to. Yeah, we know you, man. You say you changed your life? Well, we know you. Among his own kin, even his own house, who are you? And he could do no mighty work save that he laid a hands on a few sick folk and healed them. Their unbelief, his own kin, his own country, his own street, his own school, his own co-workers, his own family, did not believe. These people did not believe. He could do no mighty works because of the thickness of their unbelief. And he marveled, saying, he marveled because of their unbelief, verse 6. And he went about in their villages teaching. That's how God dealt, that's how Christ dealt with it. So much unbelief was there, he had to go out again teaching, because it said in verse 2, he began to teach in a synagogue. So because of their unbelief, he had to go out again, go out and teaching. And he called his 12 disciples. Now there's two phases here. He began to teach, and then, verse 7, he sent his 12 out. They began, and he sent them out two by two and gave them power over unclean spirits. Unclean spirits are out there to persuade you to say things contrary to what God has said. That's why he told Moses, Moses, you speak what I command you to speak. Don't be intimidated by Pharaoh. Don't be intimidated by, you know, these people have more degrees, they have more experience, they have more whatever. They live in whatever, they got a whatever you see with the eyes and you sense, or maybe some people are telling you these things. He said, don't be intimidated by that. Moses was speaking to the king of Egypt. He just had a stick. He didn't have a standing army behind him. And God was going to bring down that whole nation. And that's so wonderful. So Christ addressed this issue. He had been teaching in their synagogues already. Then he went about again in their villages teaching. And then he called his 12 disciples and he said, I'm going to send you two by two. And he sent them and he said, I'm going to give you power over unclean spirits. Because those unclean spirits were spamming the people. Fishing. Clickbait. They had received something in their minds. Put a virus in their mind. And that virus grew up in them to produce something that was strangling the genetics in them. They could not be the children that God wanted them to be. So he says, I got to go and teach these people. And then you go, and I'm giving you power to do all these things. Cast out demons, do all these things. Back to John chapter 12. I just wanted you to get a taste of what Christ did. Taste of what Christ did when he saw all that unbelief. He walked around and he said, I got to go back and teach. And then he sent his disciples off. That's what we ought to learn from this. Moses did not put up the boxing gloves. He was timid. He didn't even want to do it initially. God was going to tell him, you just say things from a distance. Remember the man in Matthew chapter 8? He was a centurion who said, had a servant who was ill. He said, Lord, I'm not worthy. Or somebody went to him and said, you know, could you come and heal my servant?
His house.
Then he said, you know, I'm not worthy. You don't have to come to my house. I'm a man under authority. You just speak the word. I speak the word. Somebody does it. He's way up there. Hadn't even gotten to the place yet. He says, you just speak the word. Can you imagine? People, the governor, the president, Congress, they speak words all the time. So much so they write it in law that impact us. County commissioners, they speak words all the time. They put it in law and regulations, and they raise the taxes. Mm-hmm. We see that every year, just about. Mm-hmm. People are speaking words that impact us. So God is training us to be able to speak words that reflect his kingdom, reflects his way of life. And that man said, Lord, you don't need to come to my house, but just speak the word and it'll happen. He said, I have not seen all this kind of faith. I have not seen this kind of faith in all Israel. That's in Matthew chapter 8. This man believed that I can just speak, being a distance away, and things will happen. I've not seen that in Israel. He's training us. He's teaching us how to speak. So if you go through the scriptures, you look at it from that perspective, you will see these things. So back to John chapter 12 again. John chapter 14 again. He says, do you believe that I'm in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak, verse 10 of John 14, I speak not of myself. Remember now, Christ is coming to set the captives free, to preach deliverance, to heal the brokenhearted. These people were held captive by a Roman government because of disobedience. That happened long ago. So he's teaching us we are to speak what God spoke. The Father that dwells in me, he does the work. So when Moses threw down a rod, God said, when Pharaoh asked for a miracle, you throw down your rod, and it becomes a serpent. They did the same thing. And then Aaron's rod or serpent ate up theirs. God wants us to speak, and he will handle the results. Don't worry about it, right? Just like a seed of sown, we can go back a couple of pages to there, John chapter 12. John chapter 12, and we pick it up here in verse 48. John 12, verse 48. He that rejects me and receives not my words has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the judgment, in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. That's what Moses is learning. And so when we get to a point in the Numbers 20, you know, Moses did something that was fatal in one respect. He had to die. God said, you're going to die. You're not going to even go over into the promised land because of this. I want to be honored by the words that you speak. That's why we have to obey God. Children, obey your parents. Verse 50. I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said to me, so I speak. Man, I never looked at that. Going through this, you go back and read those chapters, how many times God says, speak and do, speak and do, speak and do, speak and do. Don't try to do it yourself. Only thing Moses had to do was just speak the word. Go down to the river. Take a cup of water out of the river. Pour it on the ground. God does the work. Just like we just read there in John chapter 12 or 14. Christ said, I speak and my Father does the works. I never, ever looked at it like that before. God, because I always wondered about that. You read those chapters, John 14, 15, and 16, and see what God is saying. He's going to do the work. That's why we're toiling. He says, come unto me, all you who are laboring. Go back to read Matthew chapter 11. Because we're laboring. We're doing so many things, taking care of ourselves, even in the church. You're laboring, and God wants to show you how to labor according to his way. So the last few verses of Matthew chapter 11, 28, and 29 and verse 30. Matthew chapter 11. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Can you imagine what Moses, what it would have been like, had Moses going out trying to wrestle with Pharaoh? Let's arm wrestle Pharaoh. No, Christ says, come unto me, you're laboring, and learn how I handle things. Learn how I go about doing things. Make this relevant for your own way of living, whatever state you find yourself in. He says, you're laboring. Okay, I'll give you wisdom. Wisdom has built her house. She's hewn her out seven pillars. You know, God has witty inventions. He says, you learn of me. Learn how to handle things. Pray about it, speak about it, and believe it's going to happen. So Christ says, come unto me and learn of me. Now, we just read where he says, I only speak what my Father told me to do, and my Father does the works. And I will give you rest so we can rest from all this toil. Things don't pan out. They don't happen the way we think they should happen. He says, you know, just learn of me, how I did things, and then you'll be blessed. He says, take my yoke and learn of me, for I'm meek. Okay, now that goes through our attitude, our mindset. Don't be boastful, prideful, arrogant. Let's not put people down. Just let the people go doing it, whatever. I'm learning that. learning. Why should I take on the stress of everybody who don't believe or stressing me out because of things they say or things they do? I'm learning this. Be cool. Be cool, man. Cool, brother. Cool. I'm walking the cool of the day with the Lord. So he says, take of me and learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart. Think about that. He did what his father told him to do. He spoke what his father told him to speak. And you shall find rest for your souls. You won't be upset with everybody. People just don't want to do things. You begin to speak things, verbalize things, call them all kind of names. And you're not going to see that church grow like you should see it grow. God wants to, because you've been speaking things against the people. And you are not going to see the fruit of what could be because of our mouths, just like Moses. Moses hammered on the people, "You're rebels!" And he didn't speak to the rock. He struck the rock. I often think about that. Are we not enjoying what God wants us to enjoy because of our speech, what we have said? Remember, let's go back to 1 Chronicles chapter 21. Because David is here. And he's wondering, what in the world is going on in the kingdom? I'm following God. 1 Chronicles chapter 20. Is it 21? 1 Chronicles chapter 21. Satan stood up and provoked David to number Israel. He provoked his spirit. There's something that David noticed. And you read the rest of the story. Joab said to him, verse 3, "The Lord make the people 100 times so more than they be. But my Lord the king are not, they are not all my Lord's servant, or they're not all my servant, your servants. Nevertheless," verse 4, "the king's word prevailed against Joab." And then, so these things are happening in the background. Verse 9, "The Lord spoke unto Gad, David's seer, saying, Go and tell David, thus saith the Lord, I offer you three things. Choose one that I may do for you." Then David said, Gad came to David and said, "Thus says the Lord, either 3 years of famine, or 3 months to be destroyed before your foes, or 3 days of the sword." And of course he said, "Let me fall into the hand of the Lord." I was trying to find a scripture where David had said, "Lord, why is this famine? Why do we have this famine in the land?" I thought it was 1 Chronicles 21. It's not. But David was telling God, he came to God and said, "What's going on, Lord? Why is this famine in the land?" And God told him, "It's because of Saul. What Saul did. How he killed some people he should not have done. And then this particular famine had occurred." Let's see here. I thought I had at least that underlined for me. But we have to be careful about the words that we speak. I have to be careful, even standing before you here today. Let's go to Luke chapter 1. Remember Luke chapter 1? Zechariah has some words to say to the angel. Someone who's from God's throne. And he's teaching us a lesson here. He allowed these things to be recorded. Luke chapter 1. Let's see here. Luke chapter 1 and verse 18. Well, you read the story. He was in there performing the duties of a priest. His wife was barren, verse 7. And a whole multitude waiting for him. They were, you know, during the time he's serving, that lets us know, verse 10, the people are praying. Okay? Then there appeared an angel of the Lord standing on the right hand of the right side of the altar of incense, because that's what he was going in there doing, taking care of the incense and praying. And he says, "Your prayer is heard," verse 13. "You shall have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth." This is going to have a son. "He shall be great in the sight of the Lord, shall drink neither water nor strong drink, wine nor strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And shall go before in the spirit and power of Elijah, and turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, discipline of the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people for God." Now, this was a great responsibility that God was giving Zechariah to understand that he was going to pass on to his son, John. And Zechariah said, "Where? How am I going to know this? I'm an old man. My wife, she's well stricken in years." He pulled his wife into it. Said, "I'm old and she is old too." What did the angel say? The angel said unto Gabriel, "I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and am sent unto you to show you these glad tidings. Behold, you shall be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because you believe not my words, which shall be performed or fulfilled in their season." He says, you're talking, your speech, you are not, I'm going to shut you up. So you can say nothing else, and you learn a lesson, a painful lesson, until this child is born. And then when the child was born, they gave him a name, and he said, "No, that's not going to be his name. His name is going to be John." God had opened his mouth, Christ opened his mouth, or God opened his mouth at that time. So we're just going through some scriptures to see how powerful the words of God can be in our mouths. Let's go to Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11, because we read it earlier in Psalm 19, where it says, "The heavens declare your glory." Hebrews 11, verse 3. "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God." We read that in Psalm 33. God created the heavens by his word, and out of his mouth were the hosts of heaven framed. So by the word, the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that these things that are seen were not made of things which do appear. Read that again. "So that these things that which are seen were not made of things which do appear." And back to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Hebrews 1, verse 3. "Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power." Christ is teaching us what to say according to God's word. And we have to train our minds and train our thoughts. Remember in Proverbs 18, verse 21, "Life and death are in the power of the tongue. They that eat it, you know, shall enjoy it." We want to speak words of life. Christ said he came that we may have life and we may have it more abundantly. Let's go back to Mark. Show you how Christ was teaching his disciples. Mark, we all know this scripture. He spoke to the fig tree, right? But look at it in the context of what he was teaching Moses. To speak and things happen. So, verse 13 of Mark 11, "Seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if happily he may find anything on there." I need something to eat. "He found nothing but leaves, for the time of the figs was not yet." In verse 14 of Mark 11, Jesus answered and said, "No man eat of this tree henceforth forever." And his disciples heard it. Then dropping down to verse 20, "In the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots." So Christ spoke it, and the tree died. Just like when God said to Adam and Eve, "In the day that you eat of this tree, you're going to die." They lived another, Adam did 930 years almost, somewhere around that time. But he died on the inside. God cut his life short. So Christ says here that the fig tree dried up from the roots. Peter called into remembrance, saying, "Master, the fig tree which you curse is withered away. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Have faith in God." Moses had to have faith that God was going to do what he said he was going to do. We have to have faith in God. So when we go up on a challenge, as Moses, the whole nation, they had a reputation of conquering other nations. So much so that they held the children of Israel captive, held them down under a lot of bondage. And Christ here is saying, he spoke to a fig tree. He's saying, have faith in God. We read earlier now, Christ says, "I speak and my Father does the work." Christ cursed the fig tree. His Father did the work. Now he tells his disciples, "You have faith in God? Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say to this mountain." Now remember now, Moses was now speaking. All those plagues. He had the serpent. Then you had the other one, the blood in the river. Then you read on. You had that the blood. Then you had the frogs, the murine, or this boils that broke out on the cattle. Then you had the lice. Then later on, you would have the flies. Then you have the locusts, then the thunderbolts will come and destroy everything the locusts left behind. And then you have darkness all over the land. And the last one, you have the slaying of the firstborn. Those 10 things that he did there. He did it because Moses followed instruction. He did what God commanded him to do. Christ is saying here, you have faith in God, you too can speak to the mountain, just like Moses dipped water out of the river, poured it on the ground, it became blood. Just like Moses threw down his rod, it ate up the other snake. Just like Moses lifted up his rod, flies came. Lifted up his rod, lice came. Lifted up his rod, frogs came. Lifted up his rod, thunder came. Locusts came. Darkness came. Christ says, you have faith in God, verily I say unto you, you can say to this mountain, be removed, and it shall be cast into the sea. He says, read that again. Whosoever shall say to this mountain, be you removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. Moses had doubt. God had to coach him. That's why he says, Moses, okay, if they ask, who am I? Okay, this is what you do. You throw down your rod, and you let them see how the snake happened. Then you take the rod, snake by the tail, lift it up, and become a rod again. Put your hand in your bosom, Moses. He's teaching Moses to obey him. Then he says, it's leprous. Put your hand in your bosom again. Take it out. It's back whole. Moses, take the water from the river, pour it out. He's teaching Moses how to do these things. God is teaching us. Christ is teaching us. He said, I speak, and my Father does the work. Before that famous scripture, we always hear people quote, greater works than these you're going to do. Well, right before that, he says, I speak not myself of myself, but the Father gave me a commandment, what I should say. He speak, and God does the work. I had never, you read those words, but you never look at it like that until you put other scriptures with it. Then you see a pattern. See how God is dealing with his people, what he's trying to teach us, and the impact that can have on so many people. That's why Christ said, where is your faith? Lord, don't you care that we're perishing out in this storm? Well, a storm is coming over the horizon. Begin to speak to the storm. Declare victory over your family, over the neighborhood, over whatever. Because a storm come through, it's going to destroy a lot, just like it did down in Jamaica, just like it did over in North Carolina, the hurricane. Down in New Orleans? All those hurricanes, tornadoes, even people now doing a lot of terrible things to destroy things.
Jamaica.
And wars and rumors of wars. You know, God had to tell Daniel, or spoke to Daniel, gave him wisdom to speak to Pharaoh, to Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 4. He said, why don't you just break off your sins and begin to show mercy to the poor? And it could be for the lengthening of your days, your kingdom. And 12 months later, now this, Daniel spoke those words, why don't you do this, show mercy. 12 months later, he walked around, I made this kingdom. I made this. I done all this. I. And what did God do? He struck him down. He went around eating. And there was another, those phrases that I wrote down in when God was speaking to Moses. He said, I will give. In fact, I'll go back and read that to you so you can see all those eyes that God is mentioning here in Exodus chapter 6. Yeah. When he told him, I appeared to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob by God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. Exodus chapter 6. And he says, I have established my covenant. You call it covenant online? Covenant Church of God? He said, I've established my covenant. Verse 5. I've heard the groanings. God is saying this. In verse 6, I am the Lord. In verse 6 again, he says, I will bring. Next sentence, I will rid you. Next sentence, I will redeem. Verse 7, I will take. Verse 7 again, I will be. Verse 8, I will bring. Verse 8 again, I will give, for I am the Lord. God is affirming what he's going to do. He's just stuffing Moses with all these words to build them up, to encourage him. And that's what he does with us. But if we don't read the Word of God, we don't study, we're not going to get that encouragement that we need. We're not going to get that nourishment that we need. So here, back to Mark, he says, Moses, he did all those things, and then Christ cursed the fig tree. He says, if we have faith in God, In verse 23, he says, and shall not doubt. Don't doubt. Because Moses said, Lord, who's gonna do this? They're not going to believe me. Then finally, Moses said, you know, like we read earlier in verse 12 of Exodus 6 and verse 30, where Moses said, I'm a circumcised lip. God said, okay, I'm giving you a charge. Go unto the people. So God gave him a charge. Now, Moses spoke all these negative things about himself. I can't do it. I'm uncircumcised. God says, okay, I'm giving you this charge. You go. And you're going to do what I said you're going to do. So he says, don't doubt in your heart, because people will cause you to doubt. You reflect back on your own experience. Well, Lord, that didn't happen the way I thought it was going to happen. You keep building doubt, a mountain of doubt within yourself. But shall believe that those things which you say shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he say. Moses had whatever God told him to do. From the rod to the last time when God says, put the blood over the doorpost. I'm going to do something. I'm going to redeem you. That's what he's teaching us. In verse 24, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you shall desire. Now we need to ask God to give us the right desires of the heart. When you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. He's given us all these examples. This is good for me to learn this, to go through this. I'm learning so much, and so many things come to catch you off guard and that you don't realize it. Until, oh man, that window opportunity came and I missed it. Oh Lord, help me. Grant me favor. Grant me mercy. Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 55 as we begin to wind down here. So we are training our tongue by looking at the examples that the Lord has given us in his word. Isaiah 55, verse 10. He says, for as the rain come down and snow from heaven and returns not thither, there again, for waters the earth and make it to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word that goes out of my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing wherefore I sent it. God says, my word is going to come to pass. Now we have trouble because so many other people, they spam us with their experiences. They fish us and spam us with their thoughts. Notice this. We'll start speaking about our thoughts and what we have experienced before we even start mentioning the covenant what God has said, the promises what he's given us. We tend to do that. We speak like that. Psalm 107, verse 20, God sent his word to heal them. Psalm 103, verse 1 through 6, where God says, he forgive us for all our iniquities and heal us of all our diseases. Luke chapter 11, verse 20, and Matthew chapter 12, verse 28. I'm just mentioning these. The presence of God's kingdom. He said, if I with the finger of God cast out demons, or if I with the Spirit of God cast out demons, no doubt this kingdom has come near unto you. He tells us to pray that your kingdom come. The power of God's kingdom. When he told Moses from that bush, Moses, I came down here to deliver the people. Then he said, the next breath, I'm going to send you to do it. He said, I'm going to do it, but I'm sending you, Moses. This is so wonderful. Let's go back and take a look at that. Exodus chapter 3. Now, it's so amazing. God says, I'm going to do it. Then he turns around and says, I'm going to send you to do it, Moses. So let's see if we can find that right quick. Here, let's see. Where is it? He says here in verse 2, the angel of the Lord appeared unto Moses in a flame of bush. Okay? Verse 5, draw not near, take off your shoes, for the place where you stand is holy. Moreover, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac. Verse 6, God of Jacob. And Moses fell on his face. The Lord said, I have surely seen affliction which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of the taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. I'm come down to deliver them. God says, I'm going to do this to bring them out of the land to a good land flowing with milk and honey, to the place where with I'm going to give them. Now come, verse 10, he says, come now, therefore, I will send you unto Pharaoh. So God says, I'm going to do it. But verse 10, he says, I'm going to send you to do it, Moses, because he's going to be with them. So God is prophesying, that's Exodus 3, verse 10. Exodus 3, verse 10. He heard their cry, verse 9. He saw the oppression. God sees what's going on in our lives. He sees how people oppress us in so many ways. What we have to do is believe and keep praying. In verse 11, Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, that should bring them forth out of the children of Israel out of Egypt? Remember I said Moses had doubt, he had discouragement? That's why Christ says, when you pray, believe, have faith in God, you can say to this mountain, think about this. You can change reference your Bible. Think about this. Back to these examples. So these are just some of the words, some of the scriptures that I had noted. Let's see here. Let's go and look at Numbers and then John, and we'll stop. Numbers chapter 20, which is what I've been saying all this while about Moses, watching his speech. So Moses, he had been learning this now. They had gone, they're out in the wilderness, so we have a history of seeing God work and deliver things, do things for him. Numbers 20, verse 8, then we'll go to John 17. Take your rod and go, you to assemble, gather thou the assembly, you and Aaron, and your brother. So y'all been working together. And speak you to the rock. Uh-oh. Now, he didn't tell him to do anything with his rod this time, but he says, speak. You take your rod, Moses. And he's teaching Moses what to do because we are supposed to speak. Just like Adam and Eve named all the animals. So Numbers chapter 20, verse 8. And it shall give water, and you shall bring forth water out of the rock. Moses and Aaron gathered together the congregation before the rock and said, hear now, you rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? Because they were murmuring, they were complaining. You brought us out here to kill us. In verse 2 and 3. The Lord said unto Moses, verse 12 of Numbers 20, because you believe me not, Moses. So Moses had unbelief. And Christ said in Mark 20, you have to believe. Have faith in God. So he said, you did not believe me to what? To sanctify me in the eyes of the people, in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore, you should not bring this congregation into the land which I give them. He says, you did not sanctify me, Moses. You did not do it. Christ had a pattern of good works. John chapter 17, last scripture. John 17. John chapter 17, we see how the Lord is giving his last words. He's praying. Not the last prayer, but he lifted up his eyes to heaven. John chapter 17, verse 1. Said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may also glorify you. As you have given him power over all flesh, that it should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Uh-oh. So here he's sending Christ. He sent him, just like he sent Moses. Now what Christ says? Verse 4. I have glorified you on earth. I finished the work which you gave me to do. Now we just read in Numbers chapter 20. God says, Moses, you did not sanctify me in the eyes of the people. Christ came to fulfill a role just like Moses. And he said, Moses, you're not going to go into the promised land. Christ is going to go back to his Father in heaven. He said, Father, I've done what you told me to do. You sent me to these people. And he's speaking prophetically now because he says in verse 11, I'm no more in the world. Well, he was right there. But he's thinking, okay, I'm going to fulfill this. It just is done. God has taught me how to speak, how to say things. It is done. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work you gave me to do. He's going to go back to his Father. Moses could not go into that promised land. He's teaching us how to use his word. And we have to pray, ask God to help us. Give us strength to speak the powerful words of God, to speak his words that he placed in our mouths. I didn't get to show you that in Jeremiah chapter 1. He told Jeremiah, speak my words, Jeremiah. He said, I put my words in your mouth. You're going to root up kingdoms. You're going to tear up kingdoms. You're going to plant. And you're going to build. Just by speaking the word. He wasn't out there working. He was going to speak those things. And God would do the work. So God wants us to speak the powerful words that he put in our mouths by reading. And God the Father, Jesus Christ, will do the works. Thank you.